Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. Good evening, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, testing, testing. Good evening. This is R.L. Kirkendall speaking to Mrs. Leela Simmons. And today's date is February 21st, 2004. From time to time, I speak to some of the elder people to learn about history that has occurred. And as then one would know that many older people, elderly people, and sorry, Ms. Simmons, can give us a lot of information that we would not even think about what happened and things. What just went on is what I'm trying to find out from her, kind of things that went on in Lufkin, Texas. You were born in Lufkin, Ms. Simmons?
That's correct.
Okay, so you see, she can tell us quite a bit. The next voice you will hear will be that of Mrs. Leela Simmons. Ms. Simmons, if you would kind of think back from day one, as you know day one, your age and things about your parents, the schooling about your parents, your schooling, and we'll just work on up from that point.
All right. My name is Leela Simmons, but my maiden name is Freeman. I was born here in Lufkin, right here on Laurel Avenue, right where Rudd Cleaners has his business. I was born January 1, 1, 1935. I am 69 years old. I went to Carver Elementary School, which is now torn down. I left there. I went to Dunbar, which is now Garrett Primary School.
Mrs. Simmons, may I kind of back up a little bit? Tell us something that you can remember when you were at Carver in elementary school, the kind of things that, you know, maybe you can think about what happens in the elementary schools today as your knowledge shows, and what may have been different at the time that you were going.
At Carver Elementary, we had Mrs. Hackney, Ms. Hill, Mrs. Henny Collins, Ms. Bernice Harris, her name went away from me, but I'll come back to that. But in that area, we had teachers that taught us. We had respect for those teachers. If we were out of line, they corrected us. If you went, your parents even gave them permission to chastise you if you needed it. It's not like today. We did not talk back. We were mannerable children. If we saw an adult, no matter how old that person was, we gave them respect. So with the area now, there is not too much respect going on. We had all kinds of activities at Carver. We played basketball, we played softball, girls and boys. And I happened to play the drums when I was in Carver. We had a little band, mm-hmm. You know.
Okay.
And Miss Austerine Gilbert was another one of the teachers at Carver.
This was in the first grade or kindergarten?
This was first grade. We didn't have kindergarten back then.
Okay.
You went to the first grade when I went to school. Uh-huh. Started school. You went to the first grade. And there you went to the sixth grade there, and from there you came to Dunbar.
Okay, let me ask you this. Well, even though there was no kindergarten at Carver, were there other schools, daycares, or something like that you could have attended before getting into?
We didn't have daycares, okay, at that particular time.
No type of schooling before that?
No type of schooling. The only schooling you got were from your parents.
Okay.
That was your schooling. And at church.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you got your schooling. And from the minister's and their wives and the people in the church, and of course at home. And whereas when I was growing up as a small child, at 5 o'clock you were home for supper, and we sat down at the table and had prayer together before we had a meal. We had places to get hamburgers, but you had to put your head through a little window.
Okay, let's hold that part right now. That's a good point because I want to hear about that. Between kindergarten, first grade, and six, tell me some of the kind of things that took place in your school.
Well, we were segregated.
Right.
And we were segregated. We were supposed to be equal, but we weren't. But we had to have the books that we got were secondhand books from the whites.
What do you mean secondhand?
The white kids had the books first, and then they passed them on over to us.
What kind of conditions were the books?
Well, they were fairly decent. Okay. You know, they weren't all raggedy, old raggedy books. Of course, I guess they had them 2 or 3 years, you know, before they would pass them on down to us when they decided that they would get new books. That's where we would get our books from. And Mrs. Hagney was she was the principal at that particular time. But now we played with the white kids. We could go to their homes, and they could come to ours.
Okay. About what time of year are we speaking? Not time, but what year are we speaking?
Well, say 44, 5, okay. In that area.
Okay, go on.
And, of course, you could, like I said, you played with the white kids. You know, they came to your house, they ate at your table. As a child, I could go to the white man's house and sit down and eat with his children.
Mm-hmm.
But as you grew older, you knew that there was something different.
Okay. Well, in terms, still in the school, some of the fifth grade, sixth grade, fourth grade, what kind of differences do you maybe find today? Could you see that anything in particular maybe happened that you would recognize the fact that I'm in another grade, I'm a fourth grade, I'm a fifth grade? I mean, certain things that happened on that level that didn't happen on your lower level, in school that is.
It was just an honor to even pass, you know, make it to the next grade. Because there were a lot of kids that was held back because they didn't have shoes, you know, the clothes to go to school. Most of my friends, their parents had 4, 5, 6 children.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all not able to go to school. They could go to school, but they didn't have the clothes, you know. And you know how kids back then, they made fun of children. You know, a child, if you want your feelings hurt, they're the cruelest people in the world. And me being an only child, I could go to school, you know, and other kids in my neighborhood, some of them went, they went when they wanted to, and if they didn't want to. And to make a grade, it was a joy, you know, to make your grade. And like, we have spelling bees and math tests, and you'd make the highest grade, you know. Oh boy, you were really, really happy to do that. And I can remember so well, I was the little peanut queen. Yeah, I think I was in the second grade. And we were celebrating George Washington Carver's birthday. And they had this big peanut. Somebody made a big peanut float. And I sat on the peanut.
Is this a parade?
This was a parade.
In town or just on campus?
Just down Paul Street and Adam Street, you know, and Chestnut, which was there.
This is the general location of your of the school.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, Ron Carver, Paul, Chestnut, and Adam.
Okay.
That's where Carver was.
Okay.
And that was the little area, you know, they let us have. Well, I'm presuming that was what they let them do, or what they said that they could go with it. But I was the little, I can't remember the year, but there I was, that little peanut queen, sitting on this peanut with a little white dress on. I can remember that. Because I was scared to death. Let me see. If you'll stop your tape, I got a picture.
We can put some tape in.
Okay. But I've got a picture of me, you know, of myself that day they took, but it's not on the peanut. It's just a picture that my mom took me to have the picture made, you know, of at that particular time. Okay, and this was a huge peanut on a white, somebody's white, had a flatbed truck, and they had something, I guess it was paper around it, white paper around it, you know, and somebody's, I just remember now if it was a T-model pulling it or somebody's horse and buggy pulling it, but somewhere along the way that's all I can remember about that.
Let me just interrupt. Do you think at this time World War II was going on? We're still trying to get a setting in terms of...
Well, World War II, I think so. I believe so.
Okay.
I believe
or was it after the war?
I believe World War II was going on in 44?
It ended in 45.
Okay. I know it had to be going on because, let me say this, my stepfather was in service.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother's brother was in service. And they had the rationing stamps,
mm-hmm.
where you got the sugar and the flour and the shoe, you know, meat and all that kind of thing. All those kinds of things, you had to have a stamp for it, you know. And if you did not use that stamp within that month or whatever, I don't know if it was a month or whatever, but if you did not use that stamp in that allotted time, you lost it.
Well, let me ask you, you said that, do you think that making use of the stamp or not having a stamp had anything to do with whether persons were able to attend school, or how can you connect that to maybe why some were not going?
No, because there were not a lot of people, I mean, their parents were not in service. Some of them were and some of them weren't. And so I couldn't atone to saying that those that I knew, because I think my father, my stepfather, that I can remember, was the only man in that particular neighborhood, and my uncle was in service. Now, it might have been, it probably was a lot more, but I can't remember. I can't recall that. And I'm trying to remember what all went on at Carver. Okay, they would, I guess it was the government, would bring this canned milk to the school. This was where they, Henny Collins would, every morning, we had to drink a can of this condensed canned milk. Now, why they had us drink this, I do not know. But every morning at school, we drank this after we said the Pledge of Allegiance and had a little prayer. And then Mother Hill would always bring a head, Essie Hill. She would always, we call her Mother Hill. And she would always bring lettuce to school. And she would be the one with her legs crossed, sitting at her desk, while we were doing other little things. She'd have us doing, you know, reading. And she would sit there and she'd eat this lettuce. We'd always ask her, why are you eating this lettuce like that? She just eat lettuce. And she says, it's healthy for you. Well, we children would see somebody's garden. When we get out of school, we go in somebody's garden and get a head of lettuce. You know, and we would try that, but we didn't like it, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just things that adults did in those times. That's what I said. Mm-hmm. But now, people had gardens. Everybody had a garden, just about it. And when we'd leave school, well, we'd go down the road, skipping down the road, you know, kicking a rock or whatever. And somebody would say, let's go in that garden. No, don't do that. We go in that garden and we get tomatoes, onions. I mean, you know, just being devilish. That's what children did in my time. That was their bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, these were the little bad things we did, you know. And somebody would say, you get out of my garden, I'm going to tell your mama.
No police.
No police. Okay. No, all they had to do was come out. And you went on. Or if they called you back, if they knew who you were, if they called you back, you came back to see what they wanted. And they might test you a little bit, or either they said, next time you do this, I'm going to get you. And that was all to that. But never the police. Only time we had the police is when we go berry picking and the white kids want to take our berries. And of course, I was very mean. And if anybody bothered me, I'd just get them off of me. And I went berry picking, and this little white boy, he kept telling me he wanted to take my berries. He's going to take my berries. I said, no, 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 no. Get away from me. And he picked up my bucket. And I just picked me a rock up. And I hit him upside the head with it. I skinned his head real good. That's the only time the police came. To my mother. And he told her, he says that this child said, I hit him. And she asked him, why did I hit him? He told the truth. He said, I was taking her berries. So he says, well, you didn't tell me, you know, all this in the same breath. But then he wasn't supposed to be bothering me either. So nothing happened.
Well, let me ask you something. It seems that you were leaving school walking in the same direction. Did you live pretty much in the same neighborhoods? Or? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, Carver is on Adams. Come up Adams and you hit Paul, go one block down and turn on Lining Street. And that's Joe's quarters. We were the only people, black people, I say anywhere in East Texas, lived in Joe's quarters and had a picture show.
Now, this is during your earlier school years.
Mm-hmm.
Between
second, third,
fourth. Was there any different kind of things happening that was not happening at the early part of school, just because you were in fifth or sixth grade? There were activities that you experienced that you didn't experience in the lower grades?
Not really. I can't say. Because school was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You get up in the morning going to school. This was, you know, you wanted to be there. This wasn't somewhere I didn't want to be,
mm-hmm.
you know. And my mother didn't have to worry about me going to school anytime.
Well, do you think this most of the kids felt this way?
Yeah, most of the kids that, all of them wanted to go to school.
So is that, could you say that maybe those who could not go as frequently as they wanted to?
They wanted
that
to
they,
go.
That they did miss not being there?
Mm-hmm. They wanted to go. And then there were some of them had to stay out because they had to work, you know, help around the house. Because the mother had to go to work because they had too many children there. And I'm not sure how much the salaries were that the fathers was making at the mill, because there was a sawmill down the street there from us, on Paul. And one right across from Reverend Simmons' church now, that's out there in Lufkin Land now. And kids from, well, this side of town, I say North Lufkin. They had Brandon. You didn't, kids from Joe's quarters, I would say, you had to have permission to come on this side of town, unless you were going to school. And at that particular time, we weren't going to school with Brandon, because when you left Brandon, you went to Dunbar.
Let me ask you something. You say Joe's quarters. What?
Okay, that's a neighborhood. That's on Lining and Rhodes.
Rhodes?
Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S.
Okay.
And right now, it's the Inez Timms Apartments.
Okay. Why was it called Joe's Quarters?
Because Joe Stefano had a store there on the corner of Chestnut and Rhodes, and his home next to it. And he had these houses, and they were called Joe's Quarters. Like on Adams Street, they were called the Stroud Quarters. Stroud had a sawmill, and this is where most of the men in that area, right around in there, they worked for this Stroud man. I can't think of his first name, but I know that was what we call Stroud Quarters.
Were Joe and Stroud owners?
They were the
owners.
They were the owner of the houses.
Okay, so that's how the name came about for particular
quarters. Yeah. And Joe had the store, and Stroud had the mill. Plus, Joe had the picture show. He was Stefano. I don't know what nationality that is. Italian, I think it so. But, like I said, we were the only area that had the picture show in that neighborhood.
You know, have we pretty much gotten out of the elementary school setting now? And from there, we went to
Dunbar.
Okay, where was Dunbar located? What grade levels of Dunbar?
Dunbar was there where Garrity is right now. It was 7th to the 12th. 7th grade to the 12th. And the location was on Leech Street, because where Kirk Drive is now, wasn't anything but a field.
And we're talking, still talking about the 40s, right?
Yes. Because there was, Leech Street, that's right, that's Leech Street. Dunbar was sitting on Leech Street. That was the first, that was the front of the building, yeah. And First Baptist was sitting right across the street from, in that same spot where it is today. And so was the Timms Funeral Home.
You see where it is today or where it was before it moved to the new building when you say today?
Okay. Timms was in the old Masonic Lodge building. It used to be owned by Pace. Used to be Pace's Funeral Home. And after Mr. Pace passed, he's black. After he passed, because Timms was working with him, Mr. Pace, when he passed. And of course,
ID Timms,
he's not a senior, but he would be senior because he didn't have a junior. But it was ID. And ID went to Dunbar and graduated from there after he got out of service. I something. I don't know what year he graduated, but all I know is that they told me he was in that, he was, you know, graduating from Dunbar.
Mm-hmm.
And what was next to, and on this side was Miss Simon's Cafe, Percy Simon's mother.
It's on the side of the school.
On the side of the school. Mrs. Simon fed a many kid from that little building of hers. That's where they got the school lunches. If a kid couldn't bring his peanut butter or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's where you got your lunch. If your parents didn't bring you something to eat. And if, I don't think it was over a dime, 15 cents.
Well, let me ask you. Are we saying now that you're at Dunbar, you're in what, junior high school, or what was it?
Dunbar was Dunbar junior and senior high combined. Okay. And you went had the 7th grade to the 12th grade.
Tell me about some of your experiences being there from after leaving elementary and going over there. Just thought, discuss me, tell me things about
going to Dunbar in the 7th grade. There was, I say, approximately 250 of us, because I came from Carver, and then there were kids came from Brandon. And going to Dunbar was a big change.
Those were the two schools that fed Dunbar, the only two schools that fed into Dunbar?
Mm-hmm.
No other schools existed?
Mm-mm. Yeah, not at that time.
Okay.
No, nobody but Carver and Brandon.
Well, let me hear some of your experiences at Dunbar from 7th grade through 12th grade. Just...
Well, 7th grade, it was a new experience, but we had all of our kids. You know, everybody knew everybody. And what did we start doing? Well, I had a teacher named Helen Davis. I don't guess too many of us cared too much for her, because we couldn't do fractions. And she didn't give us enough time to try to take care of that. But we learned under her. And she was a music teacher, too. And we had this little song called Zing Zing, Ziz Ziz Zing Boom A. I said I'd never forget that song. And what else did we... we had a basketball team up there. But you couldn't play on the basketball team until you got in the 9th grade, because that was considered as you were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Still in junior.
Well, did anything interesting that you can remember happen while you were in junior high? I mean, that was, sometimes people think of junior high as the rough years.
Well, yes, because it was harder. The lessons got harder. And I can't remember the year, that particular year, Billy Boone, this Mrs. Janie Boone was a teacher, and she had two children, Billy and Bubba Boone. And I was in the 8th grade, that's what it was, I was in the 8th grade. It's when Billy Boone, and I can't remember this girl's name that was liking the same boy, but Billy was 2 grades ahead of me. But I always, seems like to me, I would run with the older kids, you know. Myself and Margie Allen, seems like we got to run with the older group of girls and boys. And, somehow or another, we were there, and there was a fight. And, of course, a knife came up, and there was a killing. And I can't
think... At school?
At school. I can't think of this child's name that Billy, she stabbed her with a knife. But it was over a Reverend Finley's son. I never will forget his name either. But that was a very, very hard year for the whole school.
That's what I was about to ask you. Some of the reactions of that occurrence during the school day or following it? And
well, but like back then, the teachers would just tell you to go in your room, be quiet. You know, they didn't really want you to talk about it. Because Mrs. Boone was a teacher, and she was a teacher at that school, and that was her child. And it was, like I said, it was a very hard year that year. You just couldn't really get into it. The activities was not as spirit-filled as they normally were, you know, basketball. Because that's all we had was basketball and football and the band. And then we really didn't have a band. We just had drums and had a few instruments, not a whole lot. And I can't remember what year it was that Don Boyd came here.
63. Okay. Let me ask you. What happened to the person who did the stabbing?
They sent her to a girls' school.
Did she ever return?
Mm-hmm. She
sure did. Is she around now?
No, she's in California. But they did nothing. You know, there wasn't anything done. Because this was a black person. And, you know, that was just another one of us out of the way. It was real, real, when I got to high school, I really knew what prejudice was, you know, because I knew what being called a nigger was.
Why so?
Because I was called one. I went to Trevathan Shrug Store, and this same Trevathan has a grandson on the police force now, which is a good friend of mine now, but, we went to his drugstore and to get a soda. And we were going to go in there and just sit down like we saw the other kids, you know, white kids doing. You know, they were hanging out. There was a few of us had parents could give us 15 cents, you know, and we could go downtown and spend it if we wanted to. And that's my first experience with being called a nigger at Trevathan's drugstore. And but they asked us how did they say that? What do you niggers think y'all gonna do, sit down in here? We serve niggers, but we don't let them sit down, or something to that effect. I don't know.
Let me ask you, why did you think just because you had the money you could do that? I mean, nothing else had happened in your life or to your parents or to other people that would have told you that, you know, you knew the school was different. Mm-hmm. But there was nothing that suggested to you that if I go downtown, that I have to stay in my place as such. That was, what made you think that you, just because you had money, that you could?
Well, if you really want to know the truth, because most of the time, everywhere I went, my mother was with me. Mm-hmm. She carried me.
Mm-hmm.
And because my mother was a chef cook at Angelina Hotel, all the white people knew her. You know, mm-hmm. I would say the upstairs white folks knew her, you know, and they knew me. And I was always with her. So, but we never really went into the drugstore and sit down or whatever, you know. It never dawned on me to even ask, because I was in another little world where I was, because at down where I live, because we had the picture show, there was popcorn, ice cream, and at church we always was making, they said Polly Pop now. It's Kool-Aid now, but it was Polly Pop when I was a kid. We made Polly Pop, Kool-Aid, Polly Pop, ice cream, and cookies at Long Chapel. And then there was Miss Bradley right there on up the street there from the Long Chapel. We called her Amy. And she had this car. She was a beautician, but she always worked with the kids. And she carried us around everywhere we wanted to go, everywhere we could, I guess, where we were supposed to go. And that shielded us from, you know, being called these names. And I don't guess they carried us anywhere that they thought this would, somebody would say something to us. And that's why I said, when I was, after about 7th, 8th grade is when I went, my mother started letting me venture out just a little bit by myself. You know, I wasn't with her all the time. And Miss Bradley, as I said, we called her Amy, she always, always, always had something for us to do. We stayed busy. At church, after you got through with school, you were there with her and Miss Hicks and Miss Perkins, Mariah, and my grandmother, and Miss Mary Williams and Miss Hagney, Lois. You know, they had something for us to do after you left school. And there were just so many things that we could go back and do. I can't even think of what I'm trying to say. I got it on my mind. I'm visualizing it, but I can't say what I got pictured in my mind to say. But I knew what it was to be black, and I knew what it was to be called a nigger. And after that effect, we just stayed right there in that little vicinity where we were, you know. And then you knew that these people didn't want you there. You stayed away because you didn't want to be hurt anymore, because that's a hurting thing to be called something like that.
And you said you had the movie in Jill's Quarter, so
yeah.
You didn't,
I didn't have
make attempts to go downtown to go to the movie because you had one right in the neighborhood.
Uh-huh. But now, they had the Lens Theater downtown. It was $0.09 to go in there then. And, of course, black people sat at the top, and white people sat at the bottom. And there was this one lady that took up tickets there. I went to that show because you could sit there and see that Roy Rogers over and over and over and over and over and over for that $0.09, you know, as long as you get home before dark. And there was this one lady, and she hated black folks with passion. Now that's where you got called a nigger, there too. But then, let me see how you would say that. If you just go there and put your $0.09 down, and she'd look at you and she says, are you older than, how old were you supposed to be? 12, okay, before you start paying that full quarter, I guess. I don't know what it was. Yeah. And she would look at you and say, how old are you? And, you know, you'd tell her how old you were. No, you're older than that. You know, you're supposed to pay, you know. But then you said, I know how old I am, you know. Because she hated you. She lived right up here on Avenue. She's one of those rays. It's akin to this rays driving. But we went to that show. But then we also had our own Joe show.
Okay. Are we out of high school yet?
No.
Okay.
No, we haven't got out of high school yet.
I remember you telling me something that you were a major at or something.
I was a drum major in the 10th grade.
Was that a good experience?
That was a very good experience because I loved
it. Talk about it?
Oh, sure. Oh, boy, it was real thrilling when Dunbar, because Dunbar was always winning. Dunbar was the winningest team in town. And, of course, we were... It was a good thing. I enjoyed it. I got to experience a lot of things. You know, when we go out of state, I mean out of town, and we would get on the buses. Because now, we had our little uniform for the drum major. We had before we got the band uniforms. When Carl Martin came, just when we really, really got the newer uniform. But before then, we had Miss Billy Allen made our uniform for us—a little white short dress with long sleeves, you know. And of course, the Lufkin High School over here. They had some cast-off uniforms and cast-off hats, you know, from previous band members. They gave them to Dunbar. Of course, that was, you know, we were still getting scraps. And when Carl Martin came, what year that was, Carl Martin came in. But anyway, that's when we first got new majorette, drum major uniforms. And it was just thrilling. It was just fun. Just enjoyable. Had a good time. Look forward to stepping on the field. Look forward to it. I tell you, it was real good. I didn't have a problem with it.
So we still haven't gotten out of high school.
No.
With some other things that you can remember.
That's it. Well, what else did we do?
Activities or whatever.
Oh, well, Maggie McCoy had us in all kinds of dramas. Oh. God. What kind of little drama did she have? And what? Because this was before we left Dunbar on Leech Street. Now, because we still had the playing basketball on dirt. Now we were playing basketball on dirt, on real dirt, not any kind of cement or. We didn't have a enclosure. This is all we had. And we were Dolores Wilkins and myself, and I can't remember all the Annette Lamb, and I think Jesse Carrington. We were all in this little Hawaii, some kind of little island play that Maggie had. You know, she was always dreaming up these exotic dances and things that you had to do, you know. And the costumes, she'd make the little costumes that we had to wear. And she was just a fantastic lady. Which I think we liked all of our teachers. If there, I can't recall the same any teachers that we just really didn't like. We just give some of them a harder time than we did the others, you know. Like Mr. Carter, Travis Carter. We didn't want to stay in his room. All I had to do was cough.
Cough?
Yeah. And then he said, get out. He wants a germ. He wants you spreading germs on him. You know, get out. And I can recall in his room, you know, if you taking a test. And when he said stop, if you had a T to cross or I to cross, a dot, when he said stop, you better stop. Because if you cross that T or dot that I, he take your paper. I mean, I don't know how he could see out of all the kids in there. But he knew which kid didn't stop writing when he said he'd come get his paper and snatch it and tear it up. I mean, that, you know, it was strange, but that's what he was. But if we had kids, you know, if you were failing a test, and you thought you were failing, and you know you weren't going to make a grade, well, you go there and talk to him. Mr. Carter, I can't fail here. You can't fail me. I got to have this grade. My parents just ain't going to have this. You could talk to him. He'd give you a grade. I mean, you know, if you were just actually failing, he wasn't going to just... Right. But just being nonchalant, and you know how children are in school.